Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 59 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. If you are a theater professional or you know of any, make sure they go to curtaincallonline.com and sign up to be a Curtain Call Pro with the code CCFREE. And you can claim your Curtain Call profile there today, which is free. So join today. Start connecting to the theater industry. And I apologize, this is a bit windy. I am currently in Tuscany filming, and I wanted to get this podcast out there. So bear with me if you hear the crew or the wind in the background or anything else. So anyway, now for this week's podcast. Last week, we went to the E&O London Coliseum for the first time, and I can tell you that it was totally worth the wait. Bat Out of Hell made its way down from Manchester to London before it heads off to Toronto later in the year. And Toronto, believe me, you're in for a ride. And I'm not just talking about the Harley Davidson type here. Bat Out of Hell, the musical, starts just like its title and doesn't stop all evening. And I have rarely been to a musical that kicks the door down with a wall of sound as big as it does here and then carries on. So big props to the sound department on the show. Huge props to the entire company of Bat Out of Hell for a belting sound. And the singing on the show is off the charts. And we look forward to bringing you another podcast soon about how the professionals on this show keep themselves fit both physically and vocally when doing such a big sing. But this week, I wanted to bring you a conversation that we haven't had the privilege of bringing you to date, and that is from a follow spot operator, the technician that sits not just in the gods, but above the gods, and makes sure that special is turned on so that your star is basking in glorious floodlight. And it's a proper skill, and the best follow spot operators are well known within the industry. Guy Aldridge has been at the E&O for 30 years, working on hundreds and hundreds of shows. And I talked to him about his early career and how he got to the London Coliseum and the E&O. Have a listen. So, if I can ask your name and what you do here on the show and here at the E&O.
Okay, my name is Guy Aldridge. Some people know me as Martin. That was my middle name, is my middle name. Right. But I've worked at the Coliseum for 30 years tomorrow.
30 years tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
oh,
yeah.
My Lord. Are they gonna, there's got to be a party. Something's got to happen.
No. you get a medal at 25 years,
okay.
But nothing for 30.
Well, maybe we'll have to put a little tweet out for you guys tomorrow.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I've worked here, as I say, for 30 years. I'm a technician, electrics technician.
Yeah.
I kind of specialise in follow spots, mm-hmm. though, have done for a long while, because I used to work at the Palladium many, many years ago, 35 years ago, with my mentor, Linford Hudson,
right.
who is a legend.
Right.
In the industry as a follow spot operator, so.
So between you guys have got quite a number of years of.
A few, yeah. Linford was at the Palladium for 50 years. I was there for about 4.5, I think, before I went on to Phantom of the Opera, original cast, before I started here.
Mm. So you learning a new show what here at the E&O every other what month or so.
Every other day, really, because
really?
We're a rep house. We have three or four different shows in at any one time. One rehearsing, three in performance.
Yeah.
And we'll put them, we'll have a rehearsal in the morning, change over in the afternoon to another show for a performance in the evening, and then take that out overnight, put the first show back in for another rehearsal the next morning. Next afternoon, change over into a different show for a performance, and so on.
Yeah.
So on, yeah.
So it never gets boring?
No. Well, yeah, it can be a bit of a factory, but yeah, it's not too bad.
When we saw you outside the theatre last week, you have quite a few visitors to your follow spot booth, don't you?
Yeah, I tend to entertain people. that are interested in finding out what we do.
I
have done talks for Theatrecraft, which they called a masterclass for Fuller Spotting, but I like to call it an introduction, really. But I guess I'm a little bit more modest than they.
I would say, with your experience, a masterclass would be appropriate.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because Fuller Spotting isn't something that you can kind of, I suppose, automate. I mean, I've seen shows where they tried, where actors have to make sure they hit a track. However, it doesn't give them the freedom,
well,
as it were, to go around the stage.
Yeah,
as
I guess
they might want to.
As technology gets better, it's going to become more prevalent. I believe there are a couple of systems out there that, at the moment, that do track people.
Right.
But as a spot operator, I would suggest that they cannot add the finesse.
Yeah.
And artistry that a person can actually physically attach to the lamp.
Well, once you get to know an artist, once you get to know their movements, you can kind of anticipate maybe that they're going to do something different, or go a different way. Or
I think that's part of the art, really, and in that if somebody moves, the spot moves. If they don't move, if they stop, it stops.
Yeah,
you know, and it's. I think at the moment technology is such that it can lag a little bit. Mm. So I've yet to see one that doesn't quite move with the artist.
Can you? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot or make you put anyone on a pedestal above anything else. But can you maybe suggest some of your favorite shows that you've done here? Are there any memorable moments that you had while Fuller Spotting? I mean, you've
there've been so many shows here.
I think
one of my favourite but hardest cues was on a show called The Adventures of Mr. Brucek. Can't remember who wrote it. Should do.
It's okay.
But in the rehearsals, I was mucking about a little bit, and I was following the lead in a head and shoulders spot. And he started running about the stage in between some screens about 6 foot by 4 foot wide. And I started snapping on and off in between the screens. And the lighting designer at the time, David Cunningham, came on cans and said, "Ah, that's exactly what I want. Exactly. That's brilliant. Can you do that every time?" So I kind of tried. He then relit it in black light.
Okay.
So that I couldn't see anything. And he went behind the screens about 15 times, just running about. So that was probably the most impossible cue I've ever done.
Yeah.
I think I got it right a couple of times. But I like a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And how, just to take you right back, how did you get into the Fuller Spot? I mean, were you an electrical engineer anyway and then kind of moved up to Fuller Spot, or because it's a...
Well, I kind of started in a little local art centre when I was about 12 in Stamford in Lincolnshire. They'd just refurbished and were looking for people to help out, so I went along and helped out with the lighting and a bit of sound, and thought, I quite enjoy this, I wonder if I can make a career of it. So I found a course, a theatre electrician's course through the ABTT, Association of British Theatre Technicians, that was at Paddington College, and pursued it from there, really. They put you out on placement 1 week a day, 1 day a week. And one of the placements, I got a showman's job, which helped me fund my college education. Just doing evenings on Fuller Spots. And it was actually Heidi High.
Oh,
it was
nice.
A seasonal show at the Victoria Palace.
Nice.
And the chief, when that show ended, said, "Did I want to work at the Palladium?" And of course, in those days, Sunday night at the London Palladium was a staple diet of kind of family viewing.
Yeah, it's huge.
So that was kind of an ambition of mine. So, I, of course.
Incredible.
And so he said, "Go down and see this guy, Linford." And. Well, I guess the rest is history, really.
That's brilliant. Well, Guy, thank you so much for talking to me.
That's fine. Thank you for having me.
Great story.
Guy Aldridge there, follow spot operator at the E&O Coliseum in London. Now, before we wrap up here, if you are a theater professional and want to join the network built by theater professionals for theater professionals, a network growing every day, then head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free Curtain Call Pro profile with the code CCFREE. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. I'd like to end this with a huge thank you to the entire company of Bat Out of Hell at London's Coliseum. You guys were so welcoming. We had a great shoot. We got great content that we're going to be able to share with everybody out here. Have a fantastic run in Toronto, and hopefully we'll see you back in London. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.